In this session, we shall look at the taxation of payments on the termination of employment. Typical termination payments will include compensation for loss of office, redundancy payments, damages for dismissal, payments in lieu of notice, often referred to as pylons, and certain payments made on retirement. Termination payments will either be fully taxable, partially taxable, or fully exempt, depending on the nature of the payment. We shall look at each of these in turn. To understand the taxation of termination payments, we must first go back to basics and remind ourselves of a couple of basic principles. The Earnings and Pensions Act differentiates between general earnings and specific employment income. General earnings are defined in Section 7 as earnings or amounts treated as earnings, for example, benefits under the Benefits Code. Earnings are defined in Section 62 of ITEPA 2003 as salaries, wages, and benefits in money or money's worth, or anything else that constitutes an emolument of the employment. In a number of decided tax cases, it has been held that emoluments are of the employment if they are given to the employee in return for services performed under the employment contract. Therefore, in general terms, payments made by an employer to an employee, which are not in return for services performed, will not be classed as general earnings under the Earnings and Pensions Act. This general principle is important as far as termination payments are concerned, because a termination payment will generally compensate the employee for loss of office, rather than being any sort of reward for services performed. As such, most termination payments are not regarded as earnings from an employment and are therefore taxed in a completely different way to other earnings, such as salaries and bonuses. Instead, termination payments will generally fall into the category of specific employment income and will be taxed under the provisions of Section 401 onwards of ITEPA 2003. This is because there are certain exemptions and reliefs available for payments falling under Section 401, which would not apply if the payment were treated as general earnings. The first question we need to ask, therefore, is whether the payment falls to be taxed under Section 401. Your starting point should be to ask yourself whether the termination payment is contractual. If the employment contract contains a clause under which the employee has a legal right to receive a termination payment, the termination payment will be regarded as earnings from the employment and will be taxed in full. When there is any doubt about the taxation of a termination payment, the revenue will always ask to see the employment contract to see if any reference is made to termination payments. If there is, the payment will be regarded as being made in return for services and will be fully charged to tax. If the contract is silent and makes no mention of termination payments, if the revenue can prove that there was reasonable expectation on the part of the employee that he would receive a termination payment, this termination payment will again be taxed in full. It can be difficult for the revenue to prove that an employee expected to receive a termination payment. Therefore, what the revenue officer will do is to look back at past practice and previous policy of the employer to see if other employees in a similar position receive termination payments. If a termination payment is made outside the employment contract and is totally voluntary, i.e., the employee had no expectation whatsoever that he was to receive such a payment, this does not mean that the payment is tax-free. It simply means that the payment will be taxed under Section 401, which is the section that specifically deals with the taxation of genuine termination payments. Section 401, subsection 3 of ITEPA, says that this chapter does not apply to any payment or other benefit chargeable to income tax, apart from this chapter. This means that if a payment is charged to tax somewhere else in the legislation, Section 401 will not apply. So, for example, if a payment is treated as general earnings from the employment, it will be taxed as earnings under Section 62, which will take priority over Section 401. This means that Section 401 only applies to non-contractual or ex gratia payments. Ex gratia here literally means thank you, i.e. the payment is entirely voluntary and without any obligation on the part of the employer. Certain payments falling within Section 401 are fully exempt from tax. A termination payment made on the death of an employee is fully exempt from tax. Similarly, where the employment has been termination due to the injury or disability of the employee, any subsequent compensation payment is exempt from tax. If an employer makes a payment to a tax-exempt pension scheme as part of the termination package, this is also completely free of tax. Making a termination payment to a tax-exempt pension scheme, rather than to the employee directly, is very effective tax planning and is commonly used in practice. Finally here, full exemption from tax is given in instances where the employee has a substantial amount of foreign service. We shall look at foreign service exemptions later on in this session. Perhaps the most important rule as far as termination payments are concerned is the £30,000 rule. Section 403 says that termination payments are only charged to tax to the extent that they exceed £30,000. This means that the first £30,000 of a genuine termination payment is tax-free. The £30,000 exemption only applies to payments which are taxable under Section 401 in the first place, i.e., it does not apply to payments treated as general earnings. This means that this tax-free amount only applies to genuine ex gratia compensation payments, such as redundancy or compensation for loss of office. It does not apply where the employee has a contractual right to receive the termination payment. If more than one termination payment is made to the same employee, the £30,000 exemption applies to the aggregate of all payments. If termination payments are staggered so that the employee receives them in different tax years, the £30,000 exemption applies to the earlier payment first. If a termination payment exceeds £30,000 so that some of it will be chargeable to tax, that excess must be taxed at source under PAYE. If the termination payment is made before the employer issues the Form P45, income tax must be deducted from the excess under PAYE using the employee's tax code. If, however, the termination payment is made after the Form P45 has been issued to the employee, tax is deducted on the excess over £30,000 at the basic rate of 20% only. If an employer is at all unsure as to whether the £30,000 exemption applies, he can apply to the revenue for clearance. Remember that it is extremely important that the employer operates PAYE correctly, as it is the employer and not the employee who is primarily responsible for paying any tax which has been under-deducted. We mentioned before that exemption from tax can apply to termination payments where the employee has foreign service. So, where an employee has worked overseas and that employee receives a termination payment, one of two things will happen. The termination payment will either be fully exempt from tax or it will be partially exempt. The full exemption rules are quite complex. If foreign service is at least three-quarters of total service, the termination payment is completely tax-free. So if an employee has been in service for 10 years and has spent 8 of those 10 years abroad, foreign service comprises more than three-quarters of total service, so the termination payment is fully exempt. If this rule is not satisfied, we move down to test number 2. This says that if total service has exceeded 10 years, and the last 10 years of the employee's service has been spent abroad, the whole of the termination payment is exempt from tax. If neither test 1 nor test 2 have been satisfied, we finally move on to test number 3. This says that if total service has exceeded 20 years, any termination payment is tax-free if at least half of total service has been spent abroad, including 10 of the last 20 years. These three rules are difficult to remember, so it is worth knowing that they can be found in section 413 of ITEPA 2003. If none of the three tests has been satisfied, then only part of the termination payment will be exempt from tax. We shall have a look how this works by running through an example.
William was made redundant in March 2011, and he received an ex gratia termination payment of £150,000. William had worked for the company for the last 30 years. Between March 1981 and March 1987, William had worked in London. From 1987 until March 2003, William worked in Paris. In March 2003, William returned to London and worked there until his employment terminated in March 2011.
You will see that William has 16 years of foreign service. Our requirement is to work out how much of the termination payment is chargeable to tax. Let us take a closer look at William's employment history. We will see that out of William's 30 years of total service, 16 constitute foreign service. We now apply our three foreign service tests to see whether the termination payment is fully exempt. The first test is whether foreign service exceeds 3/4 of total service. Here the answer is quite clearly no, because foreign service is 16 years and total service is 30 years. Test number 2 says that the payment will be fully exempt if total service exceeded 10 years and the whole of the last 10 years were spent outside the UK. Again, this is quite clearly not the case, as the last 8 years of William's service were spent in London. So neither test 1 nor test 2 are satisfied. We then have to move on to the final test, test 3. Test 3 only applies if total service exceeds 20 years, which is the case here. There are two more conditions to satisfy. The first being that foreign service must be at least 50% of total service. Foreign service here is 16 years, and total service is 30 years. So this 50% condition is satisfied. Finally here, we need to ask ourselves whether foreign service makes up 10 of the last 20 years. If you look back at the last 20 years of William's service, you will see that 8 years have been spent in the UK and 12 years have been spent in Paris. So this condition is satisfied. As all three conditions in Test 3 have been satisfied, foreign service is substantial, which means that the whole of the termination payment of £150,000 is tax-free. The important thing here is the approach to the question. If you are asked to deal with this in practice, then I would suggest that you draw a timeline, breaking service up into UK and overseas service, then applying each of the three tests in order. If any of the three tests are satisfied, the termination payment is fully exempt. If we were to change the example of William very slightly, it will give rise to a significantly different result. Here you will see that we have changed the example such that William still has 30 years of total service, but instead of originally going to Paris in March 1987, now let us assume that he originally went in March 1989. This will reduce his foreign service from 16 years down to 14 years. We now need to apply our three foreign service tests again. The first two tests clearly are not satisfied. Foreign service is clearly not more than 3/4 of total service, and William has not spent the last 10 years outside the UK. So let us reconsider condition number 3. Total service has exceeded 20 years. However, for test 3 to be satisfied, at least 50% of total service must be foreign service. This is not the case here, because foreign service is 14 years and total service is 30 years. This is less than 50%. As such, none of the three tests are satisfied, which means that the termination payment of £150,000 is not fully exempt. If the termination payment is not wholly exempt, it must be partly taxable. Remember that when dealing with an ex gratia termination payment, the first £30,000 is always tax-free. This leaves us with a chargeable amount of £120,000. Because part of William's service includes foreign service, we can take a foreign service deduction. This is simply the chargeable amount of £120,000 multiplied by foreign service over total service, which in this case is 14 over 30. The foreign service deduction is £56,000, leaving a taxable amount of £64,000.
This is chargeable to tax for 2010-11, i.e. in the year the payment is received.
Redundancy payments fall into two categories, being statutory and non-statutory. Statutory redundancy is an amount which must be paid by the employer to the employee under employment law and will be a fixed amount for each year of service.
Employers may also decide to pay an additional payment as further compensation for the redundancy. Both types of redundancy pay are charged to tax under Section 401 ITEPA 2003. This is the case even if a non-statutory payment is contractual. As a result, there will be no tax to pay in respect of a statutory redundancy payment, as the maximum payment is currently £11,400, well below the £30,000 limit. However, if an employee receives statutory redundancy pay, this will reduce the £30,000 exemption available to set against any other ex gratia payments. The tax treatment of non-statutory redundancy is set out by HMRC in Statement of Practice 1/1994. Genuine redundancy payments must be distinguished from other payments which would be taxable as earnings under Section 62 ITEPA 2003. For example, a payment that is really a terminal bonus, say, for meeting production targets or doing extra work in the period leading up to redundancy, is not compensation for redundancy.